From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. With more and more people living longer lives, the housing needs for seniors continues to grow, particularly here in Southwest Florida. There are a number of different levels of care, plus there's independent living, and more options for people who want to stay in their homes. We'll sort out all the different options available and find out if there's enough room for everyone. Plus, we'll talk with a woman who recently transitioned someone into a senior living facility about the emotional marathon of making that big move. Plus, a reporter with the Naples Daily News says Florida lawmakers are hiding millions of dollars for pet projects inside the money we set aside for our state schools. We'll talk with the reporter behind the story and an advocate for more transparent processes in Tallahassee. But first, the news. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. This week, a story broke about how Florida lawmakers can and are hiding millions of dollars for pet projects inside money that's set aside for our state schools. But where's that money going? And how is it that millions of dollars can be set aside without any oversight from the public or other lawmakers? Joining us now is reporter Eric Sarkissian, Tallahassee Bureau Chief with the Naples Daily News and USA Today Network. His story was published on Monday. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you very much.
And joining us on the phone today also is Ben Wilcox. He's the research director for Integrity Florida. It's an ethics and transparency organization that's also based in Tallahassee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Millions of dollars hidden for lawmakers' pet projects. That's our topic for this half of Gulf Coast Live. Share your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Eric Sarkissian with the USA Today Network. We have links to your story online at WGCUnews.org. But for people who aren't familiar with it yet, what did you find out?
Sure. This story actually looks at it's a list of projects that we actually were able to put together with the help of some sources that show these are the projects that never really saw many public eyes. Maybe they were mentioned during a committee meeting. Maybe they were mentioned – or not a committee meeting, but during the conference process, which is a very hurried process toward the end of session. But for the most part, people never really heard about them, and they'll show up later on Board of Governors allocation summaries, but really no one's had a chance to look at them, and a lot of the times there's not much describing them. So we took some time and took a deep dive into what some of these projects do, and this story stands for itself.
What kind of projects did you find in there?
I think the one we led with was the road in the University of Florida built with $500,000 that had got from the legislature. This was some of these projects will have legislature's names tied to them, others won't. This was one of them. It didn't have any name on it, and we found out it was given to this company that UF was trying to keep in or to build this facility in Alachua, just north of the campus. And then the company decided to take off. They ended up going to Tennessee. So right there, they've got it. That's where we got the road that leads to nowhere. Literally, it leads to nowhere.
So this was $500,000 that was set aside to build a road to connect the school with a private company, a pharmaceutical company that didn't ever end up getting built.
I think it's more or less a chance to try to sweeten the deal, actually. I think the UF Foundation was going to give them free land, and then UF, with this money from the legislature, was going to build them a road, and that theoretically they were going to build this $250 million facility on this land in Alachua, and they ended up taking off. They got a better deal with the Department of Energy, and the rest is history. And now the road just sits there. So, and
there's nothing on it.
No, there's nothing. And ironically, this is one of the things that lawmakers are bringing up is all these deals we cut to keep companies in Florida. You know, to some degree, this is just another one of those deals. It's just it hasn't been done through the agencies that are under scrutiny right now.
Well, this wasn't through Enterprise Florida, but it went through a university.
Correct.
Funding.
Yeah, it went through a university, and on the Board of Governors allocation list, it was said that the money was going to this radio biomedical company. And anytime you see, public money going to a private company, you're going to start digging. And the more I pulled things together, I realized that this was for a road, and it was not being used.
But it has nothing to do with the university.
Nothing. Nothing, except it's a, I mean, they could use it down the road, I presume. I think the land is still owned by the foundation, so they could do something with it, but it's certainly not helping the 2,000-acre facility, you know, campus that they have down down the road.
And is there any record as to who shoehorned that into the school's budget?
Through my public records request, I could not find anyone. The Senate, obviously, both chambers are very unique. They're completely separate. So the House had their way of tracking these projects. House Speaker Richard Corcoran at the time was the Appropriations Chair and had actually required that lawmakers put their names on these projects. This project in particular didn't have a name. The Senate actually has – it was an option for the Senate for lawmakers to put their names on their projects. And I think out of the 38 projects that went in for this year's budget, 17 of them had no names at all, and that goes for both chambers. So there was – I have no idea how UF got that money. I just know that it came through the legislature and that it's taxpayer dollars.
Well, another zinger is the $5 million for the Performing Arts Center at the University of Central Florida. You say that money was vetoed by the governor, and then a lawmaker just stuck it right back in. How'd that happen?
Correct. So in 2015, the governor had made one of the largest sweeps with vetoes. I think it was somewhere around like $450 million. That number might be a bit higher. And one of those projects that were vetoed was the expanding the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center in downtown Orlando. This was a project that was a priority of, at the time, Senate President Andy Gardner. So Senate President Gardner still had this priority, so he put this on the list, and it got right in, and UCF got their money.
So the budget went before the governor. He vetoed it, and then it
went. No, that was in 2015 he had vetoed it, but
the next year.
With this year's budget, with the process of doing this, they can't see the governor can't see the projects going through in the actual budget. It doesn't list these projects out. This isn't in the General Appropriations Act. All it is one large chunk of money for each university. I think the total for all 12 universities was like $1.9 or $1.7 billion. It was a pretty large number. But in order for the governor to veto this project using the big budget, he would have to veto all of the money for this university or a big pot of money to some projects that are worthy, you know, that did go through the proper channels. So he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
So Ben Wilcox with Integrity Florida, tell us about how Florida's budget is finalized. I mean, what is this process and how does something like a $5 million allocation get finalized and paid out without any debate?
Well, it's not a very open process. It's essentially comes down to the two people who are chairing the budget committee in each house. And possibly also the leaders of the two chambers, but these deals get negotiated, you know, over the telephone or not in public necessarily, and there's just a real need for more transparency in that state budgeting process.
So the Senate comes up with its budget, the House comes up with its budget, the governor has his idea of a budget, and then they just try to get together and see what matches. And you said it sometimes just comes down to two people that are in charge of that committee to finalize the budget?
Yeah, it's basically horse trading, you know, and each side agrees to, you know, the other chamber's projects that they've identified as priorities, and they try to come together and agree on a final budget.
So, Eric, these projects, they don't face any scrutiny from lawmakers or the public, but what do the lawmakers themselves say about it? I mean, do they try to defend this process?
Actually, Senate President Andy Gardner had defended it, and he rightly said there's nothing legal about or illegal about this process. It's just one of the ways that the legislature has done business for years. I mean, the budget process now is more open than it was from what I understand from, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But, you know, to give you an idea, even the Board of Governors, the same spreadsheets that they put out during every conference meeting they have toward the end of the budget process, that the same spreadsheets that we as reporters use and the public can see are the same ones that the Board of Governors uses to actually cobble their list together. So not even they know really what's going on. And it's legal, and it's a way that lawmakers can quickly get things in the budget. I think Senator Bill Monfort said one of the great things about it is that sometimes these projects will come up after. There's always a deadline every year for bills and for budget issues. And this will allow them to, if a great, I think Bill Monfort, actually, Senator Bill Monfort of Tallahassee actually said, this is a great way to, if I have a, say, a great educational project or that's going to really help kids, I can try and get it in there. And to his credit, there's some projects in here that, from what I've seen, aren't doing anything wrong. They're just projects that the public really didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. And Ben Wilcox with Integrity Florida, for those who don't follow the ins and outs of legislature, what is being proposed to try to end this?
Well, the new House Speaker, Richard Corcoran, has tried to address this problem in the House rules, actually. The House has passed a rule that requires any project that's going to be included in the budget has to be filed as a standalone bill. So that just in itself would, shed a lot more light on what's being proposed and what is being put in the budget. Now, the Senate doesn't have a similar rule, and there's some disagreement between the two chambers over how this is all going to work. If the Senate would, unless they come to some kind of agreement and revise the rules, the Senate is going to have to play the same game as House members. If they want something in the budget, they're going to have a House member file that project as a standalone bill. And it's going to be real interesting to see how this all plays out. Some have predicted that the budget process will become gridlocked because of this rule, and they'll have difficulty ending the legislative session on time.
Eric, what do you say about that, Richard Corcoran's new rule for the House and then nothing similar in the Senate?
Well, I think some of the things that were outlined in the story that we had put together will show some of the concerns that I believe the House Speaker actually has. But with that said, the Senate bring, I think Senate Appropriations Chairman Jack LaValla had actually said that, again, they need some wiggle room. But with that said, Senator LaValla knows that, these projects need a public hearing. So his I think the there was a somewhat of a somewhat of an agreement that as long as the project gets a chance for a public hearing, which is before and after conference, which again is at the end of the budget or the legislative session, that's going to be okay. They haven't decided on anything, but this conflict started off with fireworks and threats of lawsuits on either side. I think by this time last week, we haven't heard much yet, but I do know that both sides are talking.
So in the House, are people following through by doing individual bills for different budget projects?
Indeed, they are. Yeah, they actually had a deadline of last week, I believe it was last Tuesday, to get their projects in. And actually, as reporters, we've actually been able to access these requests that these lawmakers have made. And we can actually see where they're going and what projects they're proposing.
Yeah. This is Gulf Coast Live, and we are talking about a secret process by which state lawmakers are able to hide millions of dollars for pet projects inside of state funding for universities. Our guests are Eric Sarkisian with USA Today Network and Ben Wilcox with Integrity Florida. Share your thoughts with us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook or at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Well, Eric, I want to get back to you with Representative Corcoran. Even though he's behind this project and this type of a reform, which, as you've mentioned, has created at least some modicum of transparency, you say that he personally has pushed his own secret project to the tune of about $1.5 million back in 2015. Tell me about that one.
Actually, I'm not quite sure about that one. This is one of those days where I'm so fried with how many stories that I'm trying to deal with right now and a lot of follow up that you might need to refresh me.
Oh, okay. Well, that was part of the original article, and we can refer to WGCUnews.org for people who would like to get a little bit more background on that particular thing. But this year's budget sets aside $1.7 billion for Florida universities. And inside of that money, you say that there's about $45 million for more of these secret projects. What are some of those that are on the docket?
If you're talking about that $1.7 billion is going to be, that's the entire sum, I think, that we found in this year's state budget. That's how much that's how much all these projects are hidden in, actually.
So there's $45 million in there that's kind of
that never saw the light of day, so to speak. I mean, some of them again might have gotten one mention during a budget conference meeting when, as Ben said, that they were doing those horse trading, but no real discussion or anything. I mean, there's actually some of these projects actually come with brochures and they come with elaborate plans with how they're going to spend the money, and some of them absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the issue with Speaker Corcoran is at the time when these projects were going through, again, some of them without names, he was the appropriations chairman. So on one side, you can say that, well, he's not going to be able to look at everything. I know that I think with the Senate side alone, I had to go through 6,129 pages or worth of requests. But with that said, I mean, it's not to say that, you know, that he's merely walking into this issue, not knowing completely that some of these projects were actually getting in there. So,
yeah. And you told us that you're working on some other follow-up stories on this issue. Are there more big projects that taxpayers don't know about?
There are. And I don't want to reveal too much because we're working really hard on it. This is one of those projects where it's a day and night effort. Reading 6,000 pages of PDFs, it's a lot of work. I will say there is more there. Again, and there's other projects that look like they're okay. They just weren't appropriated in a transparent way, which, you know, I think any reporter will raise an eyebrow. Some of these projects may look good in face value, but every single time we looked at them, you have to realize that there's a reason why they didn't want this in the open. You know, there's a reason why someone didn't want everyone else to see. This is something that could have gotten stuck in a committee meeting, or this is something that would have raised, you know, caused outrage. There definitely is more there. Some of the projects were public. There was the Tampa Bay History Center for Facility Expansion. The Tampa Bay History Center expanded their museum, and I think that the paper down there, the Tampa Bay Times, did a story about it. It has a pirate ship and all these other things. That's a project that maybe it could have gotten vetoed. Maybe it would have, you know, never made it through a committee meeting. We don't know.
Well, and if people aren't even signing their names to some of these things, then clearly they're not looking for a lot of questions.
That's what's worrisome. And again, that was the UF road to nowhere. There was no name on it, no nothing, and it was achieving exactly what Speaker Corcoran and other House leadership are trying to fight right now, which is giving handouts to corporations.
Well, and then you get no follow up. And speaking of corporations, Enterprise Florida is kind of under the gun right now, and mm-hmm. so is Visit Florida. And you have Governor Scott running around the state talking about how great the tourist numbers are. Because he's trying to fight for that kind of funding. Can you tell me a little bit about what those two projects are going through right now and how they're being debated up there in Tallahassee?
Sure. House Speaker Corcoran is obviously not a fan of Enterprise Florida or Visit Florida. He's philosophically against any sort of agency that's going to use taxpayer dollars to promote some companies and not support others. The bill that they filed would cut funding to Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida. Both agencies would still stay there. Actually, Visit Florida is technically a 501c, but they just wouldn't get state funding anymore. And the idea behind that is, you know, I've heard ideas of taking some of that money, which is somewhere around like $100 million, and pushing it toward tax cuts or something like that. But that bill is getting plenty of blowback from the Senate, which agrees that there needs to be some more oversight and transparency for both agencies. But, you know, Visit Florida is helping an industry that's, I think, tourism this year will create $2.9 billion of the $32 million that the legislature will use to build the next year's budget. So it's an important thing. And, you know, I've heard people say, why would you cut your marketing arm off if it's doing so well, you know, and generating that tax revenue?
Yeah, but it came under some serious intense scrutiny, especially last year. Ben Wilcox, what does Integrity Florida think about taxpayers funding things like Enterprise Florida and Visit Florida?
Well, we've done a couple of research reports that looked at Enterprise Florida, and we found some problems with the way that agency is structured. It's has the appearance of pay to play in that the corporate board members pay $50,000 to have a seat on the corporate board of Enterprise Florida, and then they in turn sometimes get these incentive deals. Sometimes get vendor contracts with Enterprise Florida, so we just think it's not a very well thought out way to do economic development.
So the board of directors for Enterprise Florida, the people who sit on that board, you're saying that they pay $50,000 to have a seat on that board?
Yes.
So it seems like this is an ongoing argument with transparency and understanding what exactly is going on and not just making it available for people to see when they do start to pay attention, but then having people follow through on seeing where things go. This legislature makes the budget. The governor keeps them in check with vetoes. What other changes do you think that Florida needs to make, Ben, when it comes to having a government that better serves its residents?
Well, I just think Speaker Corcoran is on the right track. He's been criticized as being hypocritical in the fact that, as Eric mentioned, that he chaired the budget committee himself. But I would make the argument, don't hate the player, hate the game, and I think he is. Now that he has gotten himself in this position of power, he's determined to, try to correct some of the things he sees as being wrong with the process.
Mm-hmm. So Corcoran went in and he made some House rules, but you're saying that the Senate then needs to do the same or follow suit, and then would that be something that your organization would like to see legislated?
Yes. I think that would be the solution, is for both chambers to work together and try to bring more transparency to the state budgeting process.
And would you also like to see people forced to sign their name on add-ons and other budgetary decisions and requests?
Yeah, I think that's all about being more open with who's asking for these projects and who's getting them and what sort of favors they're trading, to get the projects.
It just kind of surprises me that that's not required at the outset anyway.
Well, you would think that, our government's set up, this way for a reason. They want to be able to hide projects and get deals in the budget at the last minute.
And Eric, do you suspect that it hasn't been legislated because they're enjoying the ability to slide in these little projects?
That could be one way of thinking about it. Another one would be that with term limits, some of these lawmakers are only up here for so long, or they, even in the House, you're only in for like 2 years. So, and you might not get reelected. I think that people just kind of get used to the way that's one thing I keep hearing in the Capitol, is that people just kind of get used to the way that things are done and they just kind of accept it. That's the same for transparency at Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida. As a reporter, I was always told, oh, well, they'll say they're a public-private partnership, so you're not going to get any documents. With Enterprise Florida, it's actually built in. There's in statute, it says that they have to operate like a state, like any other full-fledged state agency. So I think it's, with all of this attention that this issue is getting, it'd be foolish if any lawmaker would say, no, I don't believe in transparency. So it's kind of like, they're forced to move along because I think that's what everyone wants.
Are they surprised that people are starting to pay attention and look at these things and ask for some changes?
I think people are more surprised I think lawmakers are more surprised that that people didn't are so surprised by some of these projects, some of the things that we had discovered, some of the people who are stronger proponents of the transparency measures proposed by Speaker Corcoran, they appreciate it and they understand it. And there's even some lobbyists out there who appreciate it. But then there's other people who have come up to me and said, you didn't know about this? I mean, you reporters didn't know about this? I'm like, of course we didn't. And then they try and explain where you would find this information, and none of it would be ready until after the budget signed, and there's not much you can do after that. So,
well, it's interesting. It especially sets us up for a pretty interesting next legislative season too. So. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today. I want to thank you for coming on our show today, Eric Sarkissian with USA Today Network, and also Ben Wilcox with Integrity Florida. Thank you both for talking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith and directed by Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thank you for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.